Well, this is the day the Lord has made. You know, God decided that we would be here today for such a time as this. None of us decided when we would be born, what we would look like, what attributes we would have, what talents, what abilities, but God decided that He wanted you, and He wanted me, and He wanted us here today. For such a time as this, it's a new day and a new beginning. So you can do yourself a big favor by forgetting those things which are behind. God isn't a new beginnings, fresh starts, and the devil wants to beat you up over your past, keep you bogged down into that. But God wants to lift you up out of all that, amen? And He wants to cleanse you and fill you with His Spirit and fill you with understanding and purpose. And launch you out, amen, to be a representative, to be salt and be light in this world, to glorify Him now. We've lived to glorify ourselves. Now it's time for us to glorify Jesus, amen. We want to make Jesus famous. You know, the Holy Spirit will always point attention to Jesus, amen, and not the vessel. Hallelujah. So if you hear somebody talking too much about themselves from the pulpit, yeah, you got to have to question the source of all that, all right? Because we're not here to promote ourselves, amen? We want to promote and exalt Jesus Christ. He is the only hope that we have and anyone would have in this world and in the world to come. So for God so loved the world. It's not that we loved Him, but God loved us. And you can't love on command, guys. Love is consensual, but love is easy when you know that that person loves you. And we know that God loves us. How do we know that? Well, He demonstrated His love for us on the cross. He died that we might have life, life abundantly, that we might be free from the bondage and the penalty of sin. Not only did God come to deliver us from the sins of our past, but God also came to break the power of sin in our lives, to set us free from the very power of sin, so we could live in righteousness by the ability that God supplies us. Amen? And not what we can do for ourselves. God knew we couldn't save ourselves, and that's why He gave Jesus. Amen? That's why Jesus laid His life down, because we couldn't save ourselves. And when Jesus showed up and He started speaking to even the religious leaders of His day, He started exposing it all. They thought they were pretty righteous until the righteous one showed up, who could see the secrets of men's hearts. How many know there are no secrets with God? I heard a testimony of somebody who said they went to heaven, and they said that in heaven your thoughts are like audible voices. So be careful. It's where a lot of the battle is, isn't it? In our minds. The enemy wants to rule you. He wants you to cooperate with him, to entertain his thoughts. But the Bible says we're to take those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Well, thank you for coming, guys. Isn't it good to be here together? Amen. Hallelujah. God's people get together. It's always good. It's refreshing. Amen. So how many here want to know what love is? Amen. We're all looking for that, aren't we, in our lives? We're searching for love, real love, authentic love. Well, true love is covenantal love. True love is covenantal love. That's the name of the message today. It's only possible for us to be all in with God when we realize God is all in with us. Guys, it's not that we're righteous. It's that He's righteous. And He makes us righteous with His righteousness. So we must be in Christ to be in His righteousness. Jesus said we must continue or to abide in Him, all right? As we continue or abide in Him, then we bear His fruit, which is the fruit of love. the goodness, right? The faithfulness, the gentleness, the self-control, the joy, the peace. All the things that we're looking for in life are found in Jesus. Amen. And God has put that in you, a desire for those things. And the world has a way of offering us cheap counterfeits. You hear a lot of love songs, you know. I used to play a lot of love songs in the world. But a lot of the love songs we were talking about was Eros love. You know, it's the feeling of love. You lost that love and feeling. Whoa, right? Come on, you know, you guys know that one. Well, it was a loving feeling. But see, love is real love, true love, is a love that is in full commitment and covenant. Till death do we part, for better or worse, sickness and in health. Come on, somebody. Covenant of love. And that's what marriage is supposed to be. It is supposed to represent, amen, our relationship with our Abba, with our Father, with our Lord, amen? Amen. Christ and His church in covenantal love, in communion, in connection. So God had committed Himself to Israel of old, His ancient people. And just as He had committed Himself to them, even though Israel had failed, God had vowed, made a commitment that He would bless Israel, that they would remain as a nation. And to this day, that land is still being disputed. They're still hated. But God is faithful to His promises. And God has been returning His people from all over the earth back to the land. So we know that time is clicking by. Amen. Time is getting short, guys. God wants His people looking, watchful, awake. It's no time to be asleep. Hello, somebody. The devil is good at putting us to sleep with distractions, with lesser things, the things that don't really satisfy. The devil wants your worship. So he's going to offer you something to distract your heart, your mind, away from God. The one who really can satisfy you. And after you indulge him for a while, the devil, you realize that he didn't really satisfy you after all. He left you more empty than when you started. In Jeremiah 31, verse 3, long ago, the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love, with unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. I will rebuild you, my virgin Israel. You will again be happy and dance merrily with your tambourines. Again, you will plant your vineyards on the mountains of Samaria and eat from your own gardens there. The day will come when watchmen will shout from the hill country of Ephraim. Come, let us go up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord our God. That day is not yet, but that day is approaching. When all the nations shall be gathered before him, and he shall separate the sheep from the goats. All ethnos, all races, tribes, tongues, nations. Amen. God created us all because God likes variety. Amen. None of us decided what we're going to look like, right? God decided you're going to look like this, and this is where I'm going to put you. I'm going to put you in a family here, and I'm going to put you in a family there. And God's ultimate purpose is to bring everybody together in one, and that is in Christ Jesus. There's no longer Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, male nor female, but all are what? One in Christ Jesus, one new man in Christ. One people where we're God's people, God's family, amen? Amen. And you may not always like your relatives, but you got to love them. So the Lord has promised to restore Israel, that they would come from all over the world. And there'd be singing. There'd be rejoicing instead of mourning. But we see these things happening, don't we, in our time? So God demonstrated true love to His people Israel through covenant. I am married to you. I am a spouse to you. You and I are married, okay? And God does not go back on His word, on His promise. Our Lord Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is going to return. He's going to return. And He's going to put an end to all the foolishness that we're watching right now. And people that think that their God are going to meet the true God. And every knee will bow. Every tongue confess Jesus Christ. He's going to rule over the earth from His throne. And He will be seated in the city of David, on the throne of David in Jerusalem. And in Jeremiah 3 and verse 14, God said to His covenant people, "Return, O backsliding His children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. I will take you one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion," that means back to Israel, "and I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. And then it shall come to pass, when you are multiplied and increased in the land in those days, says the Lord, that they will say no more, 'The ark of the covenant of the Lord.' It shall not come to mind, nor shall they remember it, nor shall they visit it, nor shall it be made any more." They will no longer say the ark of the covenant of the Lord. "At that time, Jerusalem shall be called the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered to it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. No more shall they follow the dictates of their evil hearts." These verses are speaking about the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth, the millennial reign, as we call it. There's not going to be a need for the Ark of the Covenant. Remember, that was that acacia wood box, amen, overlaid with gold with the cherubim, amen, and God's glory would settle in between the cherubim, amen. Literally on earth, it was God's presence, and that ark represented God's presence. That won't be necessary. Why? Because the Lord Himself will be in our midst. And Jerusalem is going to be the world capital. And it's going to be called the throne of the Lord. Yeah. Because whenever God makes a covenant, when He makes a covenant with man, He commits Himself completely to it. Now hear this. God is not like we are. Promise breakers. "Oh yeah, I'll be there." Where were you? How about a call? How about a "sorry, I can't make it"? Well, if we're representing our Father, amen, we should be also people of integrity. And we should pattern ourselves after our Lord, amen. We should be people of our word. But God always keeps His word. Sometimes we interpret things through the lens of our own understanding. And then when God doesn't do things the way we think He should, we get offended. Come on, somebody. We got to be careful, amen, that we're not trying to put God in our theological box of understanding. God's ways are not our ways. And you can't know God's ways except the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, reveals His ways to us. And so we're all in the process of learning. Amen. That's what a disciple is. It's a learner, a student, a follower of Jesus. Amen. We're to be making disciples. And as we grow and as we learn, as we receive, then we can go and impart and also bless somebody else. We reproduce. We bear fruit. And what most people call love is actually convenient love, but not covenantal love. Think about this. This is the reason why many relationships don't last. Because people build their relationship on convenient love. Our relationship with the Lord should never be built on convenient love, but on covenant love. We are committed ourselves fully to the one who's fully committed to us. Do you understand? God is fully committed to us already. That's His nature. But God is looking for a people whose heart will also be loyal towards Him, amen, and being equally committed to Him in covenant, in marriage, for better or for whether we understand or don't understand, God's heart doesn't change. God's good. When my mind can't figure it out, I have to now go back to God's way, God's heart. is good. If I don't know God, then I could easily get offended because I would think that somehow he's not fair or he's not good. Isn't that what the devil deceived Eve with? God's not really good. He's holding out on you. You can have anything here, but the best part is what he's keeping from you. God is only trying to protect his people, but he also has to give us a test. Amen? Because love must be tested. Your love to God is being tested right now. Did you know that? Your devotion, your faith is being tested right now. All the things that are happening so quickly. God's going to have a people. He's going to have a church that's holy. He's going to have a people that's ready when he returns. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of preparation. Today I get my heart right with God and I learn to walk in his ways and his truth. And when that day comes, the Lord will say, I know who you are. Because there will be those who will say, Lord, didn't we? Didn't we do all these things in your name? And he'll say, I never knew you. You that work iniquity. You lived for yourself. You lived in sin. You understand, when we're committed to somebody, if you're married here today, you commit yourself to one another. You look out for one another's interests. Amen? Any relationship that is one-sided is going to be lopsided. Amen? If it's just one putting out all the time, the other one just receives and never gives back, what kind of relationship is that? But what most people call love, guys, is not real love. God's love is agape love. Agape love is unidirectional. It's sacrificial. For God so loved agape the world, he gave himself. Not for people that were good or people that loved him, but people that didn't love him, that weren't good, that were lost in sin. Amen? God saw us and loved us first. And paid the price that we deserve to pay. That's God's kind of love, guys. And that's the kind of love that we should be walking in as well. Amen? We're not in this just for us. We're in this for my brother, my sister, my fellow man. We should also be loving the world. Amen? Not the things of this world. Not the ways of this world. But the people who are lost. God's not willing that anyone should perish, you know. But our relationship, whenever it's based on convenience, and then God doesn't live up to our expectations, then we get offended. And sometimes people even turn their back on God. After John the Baptist had done the mission of God, he was the forerunner of Christ. He had preached repentance and baptized, and he pointed to the one that was coming after him. And he said to Jesus, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He finds himself in prison, waiting execution. And Jesus is out and about and doing the Father's business. Jesus didn't interrupt his schedule to go and get John out of jail. And Jesus said something interesting. He spoke of what he was doing, that he was healing the sick and opening blind eyes. And he was doing the works that the Father had called him to do. But he said this in Luke 7:23, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me. If we don't understand God's heart, if we don't understand God's ways, then we can easily become offended. But guys, we need to remember that it was Jesus who died a death that he didn't deserve to die on our behalf, and he was willing to lay down his life. No man took his life from him, but he laid it down willingly for us. That's the kind of love that Jesus had for us, amen? And he calls us to partner with him in his mission and to give our lives as well. Not necessarily in martyrdom, but to offer back our bodies to God as living sacrifices, amen, to live the rest of our days for the Lord. Hallelujah. Based upon all he's done for us, it's our reasonable service. Whenever people align themselves with others, you know, well, I like you because it's good for business. Or being with you will make me look good. You know, I'm with a band. I dress like so-and-so. Or because the relationship may get them promoted. See, guys, this is what? Convenient love. It's not covenant love. Here's another example. I love you because you make good money. Because you have a great body. Or because you're a good cook. What is that saying? A man's stomach is the way to his heart or something? Or, I love you because you have something that I want. That's convenient love, guys. Or you have something that I need. Do you understand our Father wants to take care of us? He wants to protect us. He wants to provide. But He doesn't want us just to come to Him because we want something. But He demonstrates His love for us in so many ways. And He lavishes us with good things, good gifts, in hopes that we would look past the gift and see the heart of the one that gave the gift. And return to Him, amen, and praise Him and thank Him and enjoy fellowship with this one that loved us that much. And walk together, be willing, amen, to join and partner with Jesus in this journey. The definition of covenant is a binding agreement, usually formal, between two or more persons to do or not do something specified, such as a compact or contract. And sometimes, you know, people get married out of convenience. You know, I know in the Old West, especially, you know, if Bubba died or something, you know, and Jane was left alone, well, it was almost a survival thing, amen, to find another husband, especially if you're out on the plains. That would be a convenient love relationship, all right? It was an arrangement. And you know, the same thing is true when there are arranged marriages. How many know that our relationship with Jesus is not an arranged marriage? It doesn't work. Sometimes arranged marriages work in this world because people enter into the relationship understanding that I'm going to have to learn how to get along with this person because I'm going to be stuck with them. And so even though you may not like that person, how many know that if you really work hard, you can get along with just about anybody? But how much better is it when you know that person is really lovely and good and kind and cares about you and would give themselves over for you? Are you hearing me, somebody? How much better for that kind of relationship where it's easy for us to say, yes, Lord, I want you in my life. God, you really are good. You really are good to me. And you know, it's an insult to God's nature and it grieves His heart when we're unthankful. When we complain, because it means that we are not acknowledging the goodness of God in our lives, because God is good to all. Did you know that? He was good to you. He was good to me before we ever came to Him. He first loved us. If you're in Christ today, if Christ is in you, then God is committed to you. And He's going to remain faithful to you. But He wants people who will remain faithful to Him. Are you hearing me, somebody? 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him. The New Living Translation says it this way. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. David was known as a man after God's own heart because he was fully committed to the Lord. He was willing to do all of His good pleasure. He lived for the pleasure of God. Are you hearing me, somebody? When you love somebody, you want to please that person if it's a healthy relationship. And you don't want to do things that grieve that person if it's a healthy relationship. If our heart is right, amen, then we want to do what's right. If we have Christ in us, then God gives us holy desire to even desire to do His will. Does He not work in us both the will and to do of His good pleasure. God wants us to be faithful to Him, hear me, when it's not popular to do so. Well, if I'm going to lose more friends or likes on my Facebook page, I don't know if I want to talk about Jesus. Some people are, they live their life being validated by a man or somebody. And if I get enough likes, then I'm having a good day. If I get enough dislikes, then I'm having a bad day. If I get a lot of friends on Facebook, I'm doing good. If I get, what, defriended? What do they call it? Unfriended? I'm not on Facebook, by the way. That's a good reason why I'm not on Facebook. I'd probably be unfriended quite a bit, but you know what? Jesus loves me. This I know. That's what matters. Hallelujah. God wants us to be faithful to Him when there's persecution and opposition. He wants us to be faithful to Him even when our prayers seem to go unanswered. See, a lot of times we'll get right with it. I'm going to get right with God. I'm going to draw near to God because I have a real need right now. And if I do everything that God tells me to do, then God's going to do everything I want Him to do for me. And if He doesn't, then I'm mad and I'm walking away. Convenient love. Covenantal love says, I'm committed to You no matter what. For better or for worse. In sickness and in health. Till what? How many know that if you're in Christ, that's not going to be the case? Everlasting life. Are you going to be faithful to Him when you suffer an injustice? That wasn't fair. God, did you see what they did? How I was mistreated? How I was overlooked for a promotion? How Joe over there got promoted ahead of me, and I've been here longer. I've worked harder than he has. And how come he got... have a snibbling fit, you know. Blessed are those who are not offended in Me, Jesus said. Do you believe that God is with you, that God is for you? He has demonstrated that in so many ways. Thank God that He saved our wretched selves. Amen. That He delivered us out of that pit. Hallelujah. And He made us one of His own. Hallelujah. If God never did another favor for us, praise God for salvation. I don't care what the government does, what people are doing. Amen. Right now, there's a lot of insanity in our world. But we know that God is on the throne, and that God is with us, and that God is for us. And the God said that if you go through the waters, I'm going to be with you. You don't have to worry about these things. Look to Me, trust in Me. I've got a way, even when there doesn't seem to be a way. Are we going to be faithful to Him also when everything seems to be going right? Sometimes that's the greatest test. Well, I got what I want. Thank You, God. I'm on my way now. See you next Christmas, maybe. You know, guys, it's easy to love God when you get to know God's heart. To know Him is to love Him. I think there was a song in the world that went something like that. To know Me is to love Me. But you know, when it comes to the Lord, it's true. The more that I get to know Him, to know His heart. You see, if we only have a concept of theological ideas, we know Him in letter. Well, I read it right there. And you know, sometimes we hear people, they're preaching and they're just like bashing people. And it's like, where is the grace? Where is the love? I'm not saying that we wink at sin. I'm just saying that, you know, do you care enough about that person where you're going to actually be willing to go to that person that you're criticizing? Did you try to connect with that person that you're criticizing? Did you try to reach that brother that you feel is in error? Do you love that one that you're crucifying with your words? Do you love that person that you're criticizing? Do you understand? We need to be motivated in everything we do and say by the love of God, not being right and wrong and comparing ourselves to somebody else. Because if it wasn't for the grace of God, where would we be today? It's by the mercy of God that we're saved. I once was lost. That was me once. God in His mercy. True love is more than a feeling. It's committed love. It's covenant love. It's sacrificial love. True love, 1 Corinthians 13:4, it's patient and kind and not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable and it keeps no record of being wronged. Oh, remember what you did? It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Guys, we're believing, we're loving, amen. We're sharing with others, we're praying for our loved ones. And because we're in love, the love of God, we're not willing and He's not willing that anyone should perish. And therefore we partner with God and we pray and we believe and we pray until we see, amen, the glory of God. Believe and you will see the glory of God. Maybe not in the time that you set for God. God, you've got this much time to do what you said you would do. You've got this much time to do what I'm asking you to do. And if not, I'm out of here. Can you imagine that chair talking back to you? First of all, you need to get your head examined if that's happening, but if it could, I wish you made me a different color. Who are you? Talk back to me. I made you. I made you that color because I wanted you that color. Right? And, you know, why'd you make me with that kind of style of legs? I don't like my legs. I wish I had different. Because that's the way I wanted you to be. Because I'm the creator and you're the chair. Who are you to talk back to your creator? Why don't you just celebrate who I made you to be? Be happy, be content with what I've done in your life, because there's no other chair that looks just like you except in here. You understand? There's talk of clones walking around today. I don't know how much of that I believe, but, you know, even man's attempts. There's no such thing as two snowflakes, they say, right, that are the same. Everybody is unique. Everybody is different. God wanted it that way. Celebrate that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. For these things that you have given me in my life, the abilities, the talents. I know some people think that they gave themselves their intelligence. They're proud of themselves, you know. Some people are proud of their talents. You know. Musicians, I've been around the musician field, you know, for a while. And in the world especially. I can remember every time I go into the music store, you go to talk to somebody and there's your competition, you know. They all got this attitude, right? That I'm a little bit better than you are. Because I play guitar so well or drum or, you know. You run into that all the time. People that think they're better than somebody else. And yet, none of us decided what abilities, talents we would have. God decided that. So why don't we just take what God has given us, whether it's much or little, and let's commit ourselves to Him in covenantal love, partner with Him and say, Lord, how can I love You back? How can I serve You today? I delight in doing the Lord's will. How about you? I'm thankful for what God did for me. Amen? He didn't have to, but He loved me anyways. I don't deserve Jesus. I don't deserve His love, but He loved me anyways. How can I love you back today? That's worship. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. In the New Living Translation, it says, a friend is always loyal. How many know that in Christ, amen, we can enter into a friendship with Him? Because we obey Him. Because we're loyal to Him. He's always loyal to you. Did you know that? Even when you don't think He's being loyal, He's being loyal. Even when he doesn't answer the prayer the way you think he should, or when you think he should, he's still being loyal to you. He hasn't given up on you. He's not kicking you to the curb because you don't understand what God is doing. And you can't know what God is doing unless he allows you to see what he's doing, just like you don't tell your kids everything you're doing until maybe they're either ready for it or they don't need to know about it. Come on, somebody. It's called maturity. If your child is old enough to drive the family car, okay. But Johnny's 5 years old. It's not a good time to be driving the family car. True love or a true friend loves in adversity as well as in prosperity. And you know, sometimes, guys, it takes a hard time to show which friends are genuinely loyal. How many beside myself have been in a place, a bad place in your life, going through a valley, going through something, loss, whatever it might have been, a divorce. I wasn't divorced, but I know people that have been. And all of a sudden, their friends aren't there anymore. Convenient love. Back in the world, a friend with weed was a friend what? Indeed. Convenient love. But when the weed runs out, it's, well, I'm pretty busy today. I ain't got time for you. Whatever it might be. The world's love, amen, is conditional on what they can get out of you. And our love for others should never be based upon convenient love, where our relationship with somebody is based upon how can I use this person to get what I want for me. But how can I make life better for you? How can I enhance your life? How can I bless your life? How can I make life better for you? Because, you know, when you do good, I do good because we're the same family. We're the family of God. So if you're doing well, I'm doing well. If you're grieving, I should be grieving. Amen? Because we're in covenant. Covenantal love is loyal love. It's not just when it's easy. But at all times, a true friend will love. True friends are those who will love you even after they find out what you're really like. Do you have any true friends like that? My wife must be a true friend because she's still with me. She is. She's the love of my life, my best friend. We've been through a lot together. But she's stood in there. And I've stood in there. I didn't allow my feelings to get the best of me. I obeyed the Lord. And if it wasn't for the Lord, we wouldn't be together today, I can tell you that. God intervened at the right time. And he brought restoration and reconciliation. And our relationship is better than it's ever been today because of the Lord. You know, if God is the center of your life, of your relationship, you'll make it. You'll be able to deal with the tests that come your way, the difficulties that come, and stand. You remember Joseph in Psalms 105, verse 17? It's just a little synopsis of Joseph. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. We don't know about all the details of Joseph's life when he was in prison, how he'd been, you know, forsaken and betrayed, what all his thoughts were of. But we do know that God was with Joseph through it all. And God eventually brought him to a place where he would be exalted. But he had to first be brought down before he could be brought up. You know what I'm saying? You have to be humbled before you can be exalted. And the word of the Lord tested him. In verse 20, the king sent and released him. The ruler of the people let him go free. And he made him lord of his house. and ruler of all his possessions. That's just how God works things, guys. Sometimes we don't know why this is happening to me. Why am I having to deal with this? God, did I do something to offend you? God, are you mad at me? Have you ever said that? Ever felt that? Sure. It's not necessarily that you offended God or that he's mad at you. But he knows what's best for us. He knows the right prescription for your life that's going to produce the best results. Amen. We all have our own cup to drink in this world. And my cup is going to be different than yours. But know this, that if you are a child of God, you're born of his spirit, you belong to him. God has promised to work all these things together for your good. You know that. It means, the word of the Lord tested means it tried his faith and his patience. And after he was tested and proven, then he was promoted and given great authority. How many want more authority in the kingdom? Amen? Well, guess what? You have to be tested in order to be promoted. And you have to pass the test. If you don't pass the test the first time, guess what? You got to repeat it. I don't like doing retakes. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. No matter what we face in life, guys, we need to remember God is fully committed to us. You can trust someone who is loyal. You can trust someone who is committed to you, regardless of what happens. He is there. He has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He waits for us to return to him. If we will return to him, we will find mercy and grace. Amen? God is abundant in mercy. God wants to forgive sin. God wants to heal. He wants to restore. His heart is redemptive. That's who he is. And it doesn't matter how badly we've blown it. If we will repent, that means return to him. Change direction. Go back to Jesus. Amen. He is there with open arms waiting for you. 1 Peter 4:19, therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good, as to a faithful creator. Guys, God is much more faithful than we are. He's always faithful. So know that God is there. If you come, if you return, he will show you mercy. He will show you his grace. He will restore you back to life. He will restore you back to your purpose. He will fill you with his spirit. He will raise you up. Hallelujah. He'll give you authority in his name. Amen. And you can go and bear fruit and make a difference in this world. Amen. You can be a world changer. If you have the world changer in you, you simply walk with him. And God will do miracles through your life. Amen. God wants you and I to partner with him. To trust in his faithfulness, not in our ability to be faithful, but in his faithfulness. Again, it's only possible to be all in with God when we realize that he's all in with us. Because sometimes the enemy beats us over the head with our failures and tries to get us into unbelief and to think that somehow it's gone too far. I've grieved God to the point where he doesn't love me anymore. He's given up on me and there's no hope for me. So I might as well go eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow I'm going to die. And the devil's a liar. But God says, if you come to me, I'll forgive. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you. Hallelujah. Quit listening to that voice that tells you that God doesn't care about you. He doesn't love you anymore. He loved you when you never knew Him, when you never called on Him. He loved you then. What shall separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Trust in Him, in His faithfulness. Question is, are we willing? And this is where the rubber meets the road. Are we willing to fully commit our lives to Him? Are we willing to give Him our lives? To give Him our life? If you want to know the fullness of God in your life, you want to know the salvation, amen, and the fullness of God in your life, you must come to a place where you commit your life fully to the one who's fully committed to you. Are you hearing me? That's where life begins. In surrender. Life begins when we come to the end of our life. Now we're ready for His life. My life has been empty. I've tried to fill it up with all kinds of garbage. Nothing really satisfied me. And I had to come to the end of myself and to the place where I realized that my way is not working. It will never work. It will never satisfy me. I've tried everything the world just about could offer me, and it never satisfied me. I was still empty. I was still empty inside until I came to the end of myself. Then I said, God, I want You now. I'm ready, Lord. I'm ready for You. And I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And God met me in that moment of sincerity when I was broken before Him and I was being truthful with Him. He knew when I was giving Him lip service before and said, God, if You get me out of this, I'll do whatever You want. That was lip service. But God saw that my heart was in the place where truly now I am ready to take up my cross and follow Him. And no matter where He goes, no matter what happens, I'm going to be committed to the one who's fully committed to me. And that's where life is. If you'll save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake in the gospel, you will find it. You'll find an abundant life. You'll find joy in the Holy Spirit. You'll find love. Amen? True love. Commitment to God is true love. Because He's fully committed to you already. He gave Himself. Would you stand? Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, I lift up my brothers and sisters today, and Lord, I realize that I'm nothing without You. It was because You gave Yourself for me. It's because You were willing to lay down Your life for me, that I could be forgiven, that I could be saved, that I could be Your child, not because of my goodness or my righteousness or my works, but only because of Your mercy. And Lord, I thank You for Your mercy. I thank You for Your grace. I thank You for all You've done in my life, Lord. How You've been there, Lord, for me. In my time of need. In the good times and in the bad times, God, You've always been there. You are faithful and true, just like Your word says. That's who You are. That is Your nature, God. And God, You're someone I can trust. You're someone I can rely upon. Even when man fails me, You do not fail, God. And I thank You for all that You've done, God. Things so undeserved, but You gave to prove Your love for me. And so today I must say to God, be the glory for the things He has done. With His blood, He saved me. And with His power, He raised me. You're here today. God is calling you back. God wants to raise you back up and fill you with His power, His dunamis, and launch you out into the mission that He has called you to. It doesn't matter how far you've gone, how badly you failed. God welcomes you today if you will come. He will forgive you. He will cleanse you. He will make you new. He calls you. He invites you. you're here today and you really feel God tugging on your heart, that today is a day when you need to give up the fight. You need to surrender. You need to lay it all down again. You need to surrender your life to Jesus. You're willing to go all the way with God now. You're willing to commit yourself fully to the one who's committed to you, that you might reach your destiny with joy and hear the Lord say in that day, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." God's calling you and I to commit to Him, to partner with Him. And you know, when Jesus called people, He called them publicly. He says, "If you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. But if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father and the holy angels." God's been speaking to some of you this morning. I know it. I sense it in my spirit. Are you willing to say yes in the time that God is allowing you to come? God is giving you an opportunity. God's giving you another chance today. Don't hold back from the mercy of God. God will meet you. Some of you, you need to recommit your life to Jesus. Maybe you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. I want to invite you to come right down. Come on down to the front right now, guys. Hallelujah. Just come on down. Don't be ashamed to say that you know Him. If you raise your hand, you need to recommit your life. Come on down right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Are you willing? Are you obedient? Are you doing the will of God for your life? If not, today is the day for you to make a decision. God is still extending His grace, guys. He's still giving us opportunity to repent. If God's been speaking to your heart, I want you to come and recommit your life today. Commit yourself to Him fully and to His mission for your life. Because soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. Today, God is calling you. Today is the day of salvation. Would you come and say, "Yes, I'm going to stand, and I'm not ashamed to say I'm going to stand for Jesus today." Hallelujah. Let us pray together. Father, sing it. Just say it out loud. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the cross. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for your love. Thank you for all you've done for me. Things so undeserved, but you gave to prove your love for me. Father, I come to you and I fully surrender. I commit my life back to you. Use me, Lord, for your glory. Forgive my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Empower me to live for you. Set my life on fire for you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Blessed be your name. Go ahead and praise them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. If you humble yourself, God will exalt you. Hallelujah. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. And life is worth the living just because He lives. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how, I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I've got the joy. I've got the joy. I've got the joy. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay, and I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart, and I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. It's so good to see you, and some of you I haven't seen for a while, but welcome back, and thanks for hanging out with us this morning.